How can we deny self if we know not Christ? How can we receive the power and strength to deny ourselves if we know not the Savior? And therefore, as we see of Moses here, that self-denial is founded upon Christ, or rather, to use the words that we see in Hebrews 11, by faith. Moses, by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith. And we see here the need of salvation, the need of faith in Christ. It leads to a life that is changed, a life that would have been focused upon fame and fortune.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Wonderful.
You've been listening to Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Hello, and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11, and we are considering the subject, denying ourselves for Christ, putting the Savior first, esteeming his reproach greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, following the example of Moses. Are you a believer that puts Christ first? Are you a believer that forsakes the comforts of this world, forsakes the praise and the wealth of this world for your blessed Savior? Oh, that we would turn aside from all the riches of Egypt and put Christ and his reproach above all things. In this life, we know something about denying ourselves for the good of others. The parent is called time and time, day after day, to deny themselves for the good upbringing of their child. The husband is to deny himself for the good of his wife and family. There are those in society who will deny by putting their lives at risk as they seek to go out of their way in the line of duty to help others and to save lives. There are many examples in human history where men and women denied themselves the simple comforts of life and the happinesses of life for a greater purpose. And in this chapter, we have a divine record of the great saints of old who show forth the power of God in living blessed and faithful lives. And when we come to where we read this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 23 down to verse 29, there is a striking thought found here in the Word of God, something that stands out to us, something that reminds us and presses deep down in our hearts our duty before God, and namely that duty is one of self-denial. I want you to consider what verse 25 says concerning Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we find here in the biblical record that Moses denied himself the ambitions and experiences of wealth and fame and honor and power to be numbered among the people of God, to be a servant of the Lord, to be a leader of the Israelites. What is self-denial? I think that is an important question we need to ask ourselves. We maybe have some understanding of what it means, but here is one definition. It is a summons to live by faith in the gospel of Christ. A summons to live by faith in the gospel of Christ. Very simply, self-denial is the lifestyle of those who are saved and those who belong to God. One of the old Puritans, Isaac Ambrose, said that self-denial is a total, thorough, utter setting aside of a man's own ends, counsels, affections, and a whole prostration of himself and of all that is his under Jesus Christ. And thus we have the meaning of the Savior, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That is, let him lay aside his own wisdom as an empty lamp, his own will as an evil commander, his own imaginations as a false rule, his own affections as corrupt counselors, and his own ends as base and unworthy marks to be aimed at. Let him deny himself. And that is the very opposite, is it not, to our sinful and our corrupt nature. In Philippians chapter 2, the verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Every man seeks their own.
That is our sinful nature. That is our original nature as people within this world. Every man seeks his own. He lives for himself. He goes after his own desires and his own lusts. When we think of the Savior and those that followed after him, they came after the Savior, and how that seemed like a great self-denial. They put their priority upon seeing Christ and hearing Christ. But the Savior responded that it was not his doctrine or himself or the miracles that drew them after him. It was loaves of bread, and therefore they desired physical bread and not the one who is the bread of life on one particular occasion. When we think of the Savior, we are to deny ourselves for Christ. He is to be the priority within our lives. He is to have that preeminence. There are great pretenders of holiness, yet they are found out when faced with this great matter of denying themselves for Christ. The Savior said in Matthew 16, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The Puritan William Greenhill said, "He who most denies himself lives most free from sin. He who most denies himself lives most free from sin." And so this morning I want us to consider, in light of Hebrews 11, verse 25, and these other verses that expand upon Moses and his self-denial, very simply, denying ourselves for Christ. Denying ourselves for Christ. And dear believer, this is where you and I need to be. We need to be denying ourselves for Christ. He is the Lord of our lives. He is the King of our hearts. Let us not wallow in sin. Let us not be found living in iniquity, because we desire that more than the presence of Christ. Let us live for him. Let us deny ourselves those pleasures of sin that, as the Word of God says here, last but for a season. And let us put Christ first. And so I want us to consider denying ourselves for Christ. And firstly, our self-denial is founded upon Christ alone. Our self-denial is founded upon Christ alone. How important that is. What is the point of denying self if we know not the Savior? How can we deny self if we know not Christ? How can we receive the power and strength to deny ourselves if we know not the Savior? And therefore, as we see of Moses here, that self-denial is founded upon Christ, or rather, to use the words that we see in Hebrews 11, by faith. Moses, by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith. And we see here the need of salvation, the need of faith in Christ. It leads to a life that is changed, a life that would have been focused upon fame and fortune. In the ancient days, if you had a choice of who you wanted to be, and you had a choice over your honor and your fame and your wealth and your position in society, being in the place of Moses, here in Egypt, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, having power and authority and wealth and having everything this thriving ancient civilization had, it would be a good place for you to be. A good position to choose. But Moses set it all aside. He denied himself all of these things, that comfortable life, that life in the palace from his early years right through to his death. Comfort on every hand, power, authority. Some commentators would say that even despite being adopted, maybe Moses could have had the throne of Egypt one day. I don't know how accurate that would be, but some have said it would have been a possibility. Certainly power and authority were there for his taking. And the self-denial of Moses then is a testimony of the preciousness of his faith. Faith fills the heart with the fullness of God, but it empties the heart of itself. Faith raises our hearts to God, but it also keeps our hearts low and keeps our hearts humble. We find in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He kept the Passover, that which resembled Christ in his gospel in a most wonderful way. How they went and they took that spotless lamb and they killed that lamb and they took the blood and placed it upon the doorposts in obedience to the command of God. And when the angel of death passed over in that 10th plague, he passed over those homes that were marked with the blood. He, with an eye of faith, discerned the future sacrifice of Christ. That's what it is a picture of. Christ dying for our sins, the blood of Christ being there upon us, as it were. Faith looked to the Passover. Faith looked to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Faith looked through the Passover and saw that spiritual refuge for sinners in Christ and his finished work. And this is how we are secured against eternal wrath, through Christ. Moses saw these things. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. There will be a day of wrath and judgment. But Moses saw, through the Passover, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, that great picture of the Messiah who would come and die for the sins of his people. And the question comes to you and I this morning, when we think of self-denial, is that self-denial we have founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Is your soul depending upon him? Many today will engage in acts of self-denial. Self-denial is an act that should come from salvation. It is an evidence of our faith. It doesn't lead to salvation, but it shows forth that we are the people of God. But there are those who will press on in great and difficult religious acts. They will deny themselves to earn favor and merit with God. But the self-denying comes as God's people deny themselves the pleasures of this sin-crazed world for Christ. A true understanding of denying ourselves for Christ is founded on the basis of his redemptive work, not on our own ideas. And there are many today who will deny themselves or think they're denying themselves to earn merit and favor with God. That is not built upon Christ alone. We deny ourselves because we're founded upon Christ. We deny ourselves because he is the Savior who gave himself for us. We do not deny ourselves to earn merit or favor or access to heaven or the forgiveness of sins. And there are many who will engage in religious acts, denying themselves, going on pilgrimages, repeating word after word after word, trying to earn merit and favor with God. There are those who will come to church week by week. In some way, they think they're denying themselves for Christ and for God, but it's just a work, trying to earn merit and favor with God. Oh, how many think that by reforming their lives and living good lives as good people, that earns them favor with God. They deny themselves the great sins of this age. They're not found being addicted to alcohol or to substances or to anything else this world has to offer. They try to keep their lives as clean as they can and deny themselves these pleasures in their own mind. But they're also denying themselves Christ by refusing him and rejecting him and trying to live that righteous life without him. There is no self-denying that can lead us to heaven. The self-denial of Moses was a self-denial based upon the faith that he had in Christ. And if you think today that you can earn favor with God and you can earn access to heaven because of some religious act outside of repentance and trusting Christ for salvation, then you're gravely mistaken. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He denied himself because of his faith. And dear believer, when we think of our faith, are we truly founded on Christ? What do we think of Christ? Are we prepared because of what Christ has done for us and what we've experienced in his salvation to deny ourselves in living for him? That is the life of the believer. To turn aside from the sin of this world, to turn aside from its wickedness and its corruption, to be separated from these things, to live for God. A true understanding, as we've said, of denying ourselves for Christ is founded on the basis of his redemptive work. The Savior gave himself wholly and fully for us, in that he died for us upon Calvary. He suffered and bled for the sins of his people. And as his people, we are to deny ourselves the pleasures of sin. We're to put him first in all things. I want you to notice secondly here that our self-denial is a rejection of the world. A rejection of the world. Coming back again to verses 24 and 25, we see that there are a number of thoughts here. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was a rejection in verse 24 of worldly honor. He was adopted into the king's family. He was raised as a son of the king's daughter. What a privileged position. A simple reading of Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2 reveals to us a particular truth that the Bible does not record everything about the life of Moses. We don't know what he did from infancy till he killed the Egyptian. But we do not know the specifics. But Hebrews 11 gives us a little insight into his heart and into his life and into his faith that before Hebrews 11 we did not know. Josephus, the Jewish historian, speaks of the young child Moses receiving a crown from Pharaoh and throwing it to the ground and trampling upon it. That may be true. Equally, that might be fiction. We do not know, but what we know is this, that the Spirit of God doesn't bring our attention to any such events. It is unimportant and irrelevant, for all we need to know is what we have here, that when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew who he was. He knew his ancestry. He knew that he was from the people of God, the Israelites who were enslaved by the Egyptians. We do not know how he physically and vocally declared this refusal, or if he simply lived in a way that it was clear he was an Israelite, not an Egyptian. We don't know. But he wasn't in that eminent position in Egypt. He had respect and honor and love that would come from being part of the royal family. Imagine the privileges of fame, the power he possessed, the great future he had ahead of him. Yet he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The Lord meant much more to Moses. Much more to Moses. Not every member of nobility, not everyone with honor in this world rejects Christ. But yet great thoughts and pride can enter into the hearts of men.
Spurgeon brings us today to John 17, verse 23. I in them. If such be the union which subsists between our souls and the person of our Lord, how deep and broad is the channel of our communion. This is no narrow pipe through which a thread-like stream may wind its way. It is a channel of amazing depth and breadth, along whose glorious length a ponderous volume of living water may roll its floods. Behold, he hath set before us an open door. Let us not be slow to enter. The city of communion hath many pearly gates. Every several gate is one of pearl, and each gate is thrown open to the uttermost that we may enter assured of welcome. If there were but one small loophole through which to walk with Jesus, it would be a high privilege to thrust a word of fellowship through the narrow door. How much we are blessed in having so large an entrance. Had the Lord Jesus been far away from us, with many a stormy sea between, we should have longed to send a messenger to him, to carry him our loves, and bring us tidings from his Father's house. But see his kindness. He has built his house next door to ours. Nay, more, he takes lodging with us, and tabernacles in poor, humble hearts, that so he may have perpetual intercourse with us. Oh, how foolish must we be, if we do not live in habitual communion with him. When the road is long and dangerous and difficult, we need not wonder that friends seldom meet each other. But when they live together, shall Jonathan forget his David? A wife may, when her husband is upon a journey, abide many days without holding converse with him, but she could never endure to be separated from him if she knew him to be in one of the chambers of her own house. Why, believer, dost not thou sit at his banquet of wine? Seek thy Lord, for he is near. Embrace him, for he is thy brother. Hold him fast, for he is thine husband. And press him to thine heart, for he is of thine own flesh. We come to the end of our program today. We thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And we trust the word of God has indeed been a blessing to your heart and to your soul. Do send us an email and let us know that you are listening. Those details are at the end of this program. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.